Let's pray. Father God, as we look at your word, as we think about what you are preparing for us, help us, Father, to be able to look past what is happening in this world and look to our eternal home. So we seek to serve you here, Father. Help us to persevere, knowing all that you have planned for us. So, Father, teach us from your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, what we learn might help us to live the way we should today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked last Sunday night at the subject of heaven. And let me just kind of go back for a second. Things we said last night, make sure you're going to heaven. I mean, that's just kind of basic. If you're not sure, you need to make sure. I got to listen to several testimonies tonight of those who had received Christ. And I don't know of anything better to listen to than how someone came to Christ. It's just an awesome thing to hear. We need to be storing our treasures in heaven. We need to make sure we're not hoarding everything for here and that what we are doing now is putting treasures in heaven that we are giving towards others. We need to keep a proper perspective on our life. Think of all you're going through here. And have you ever noticed that we always say we'll laugh when it's over? Think about those things that make you want to think about laughing when it's over. And keep a proper perspective on those things. Because they're really not that big of a bump in the road as you think. I mean, life, we come to those issues and they're just gigantic and we think we'll never get through them. But they're just not as big as a bump as you think. Why don't you think of it this way for a moment? If we were to take the stock market and we were to concentrate just on a couple years around the crash. Remember the big crash that happened many years ago? We would look at the graph kind of like this. If we were to look over the last couple years and all that happened that kind of looked like that gigantic crash, then we would look at the graph kind of like this. But when you take that graph and you spread it out over eternity, then that graph of our life kind of looks like this. If we were to look at eternity in light of what's happening here, then those major crises in our life, as bad as they feel, are really small on the graph. And that's exactly what God said. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, I'm going to talk about some things that are coming. And if we keep our eyes, if we keep our mind focused on what is eternal, then really the things that seem so awful, they become much smaller. And I know it doesn't feel that way, but if we look past what's going on in our life, they're not as bad as we think. Think of the Apostle Paul and all he went through. And what did he say? He said, for our light and momentary troubles. Paul's light and momentary troubles. Imagine that in light of what he went through. We talked last week about godly training. We talked last week about serving God. I said, you know, if all that salvation was getting to heaven, then the moment we got saved, the very next moment we'd be in heaven. But that's not what salvation's all about. It's about the moment we get saved to the moment we go to eternity and that period in between, using that time to live for God and to serve Him, no matter what we go through. So what happens after all that? What happens the moment you breathe your last in this world? What happens if we're taken in the rapture? Well, let me say there's some changes coming. And the first thing that changes is our environment. So our environment will change. The things that are going on around us, they're going to change. Look at with me Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of life, or the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And here's what I want you to see. No longer will there be any curse. The thing that's really going to change about now and then is that the curse is gone. It's gone. No longer will the world be affected by the curse. Think about that. No longer will the world be affected by the curse. So what is the curse? The curse is the thing that came into this world in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned and affected everything that is around us and affected us. Adam and Eve sinned. God cursed this world. God cursed this universe. These bodies, our lives, are living in a world that has been cursed. Hold your finger here in Revelation 22, and I want you to turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I want you to notice something. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Are you going through suffering right now? Are you dealing with life's problems and issues? Notice, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So if you take all the things that you're suffering right now, and you compare them with glory. Remember those old scales? You know, where you put weight on this side because you want to weigh something, and the scale had kind of a bar up here and chains on it, and you would take weights and you put them on this side, and you keep putting the weights on there until it equaled what you wanted to weigh, and then you would know how much this thing weighed. So Paul's saying, if we take all the suffering and the problems and the difficulties, they do not compare on the scale with all the glory that we're going to have in heaven. How awesome that's going to be. Verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. That is God, who subject creation to the curse because of our sin. In hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So God right here is saying through Paul, that when the curse hit this world, when God subjected everything around us to the curse, one day that curse is going to be lifted. And when it is, the glory that follows is so much greater than the curse and the frustration and all we're going through that you can't even weigh them on a scale. You know, one of the things I like to watch on TV is the animal shows. I just love seeing animals and the colors and all that's through it. But have you ever noticed how ugly creation can be? I mean, have you ever noticed how... Can you imagine being the fly in the spider's web? Can you imagine being the animal that is caught by the lion? Have you ever saw how a lion catches an animal? He usually grabs it by the neck and bites it until it dies. I mean, when you think about creation, as beautiful it is, it can be really ugly and brutal. That is part of the curse. When you look at your body and all the things that we got to deal with, sickness and disease and all the things, that is part of the curse. But one day, the Bible says, when we get to heaven, that curse will be lifted. And everything that this world deals with, all the frustration, all the things this world has to deal with as a result of the curse, gone. Gone. Now, what will that mean to you and I? Turn back one chapter in the book of Revelation to chapter 21. When the curse is lifted, our environment is going to change. Now, I want you to notice, Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Imagine one day we are going to be in the presence of God. What will he do? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Curse is gone. The old order has passed away. It will no longer affect us. Therefore, in heaven, notice there's going to be no more death. No one will die. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I think of all the funerals I've had to do. I think of all the deathbeds I've been next to. No more will we ever have to go through that. You know, think of your own life. People have died, and the pain and all that went with it, gone. In fact, notice, no more mourning or crying. There'll be nothing ever in eternity that will ever cause us sorrow. No accidents, no disease, no sickness, no health problems. For all eternity, there'll be nothing in our life that will ever make us cry or mourn. No pain. We will never again say, "Ouch," or "That hurts." I think of John coming on Wednesday night, almost right after his surgery, still with a pain pump with him. Never have to go through that kind of stuff again. No more going to doctors. No more going to dentists. Connie hates dentists. Well, not the dentist. She don't hate him, but she hates going. Every time she goes, they always find something. No more surgeons. No more hospitals. Never again ever to feel pain. Think about it. No more sinful people. Look at that. Turn to verse 8 in Revelation 21. Verse 8. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Now skip down to verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, speaking of heaven, the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In heaven, there will be no rotten people. To wake up and hear that there's no one rotten anymore. To watch the news, if there is news in heaven, but there'll be no more reports of murders, of rapes, of abuse, of wars, of terrorism. I think of Tim Dillman, that we brought to church several times. The last few years, he really had to suffer. And it was all because a guy broke into his house, shot his wife between the eyes, and shot him in the back. And no more could he walk, and almost daily he had to deal with pain because of evil, sinful people. In heaven, there'll be no one that does that anymore. No one that hurts you anymore. No one that wrongs his neighbor anymore. No death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, no sin, no sinful people, no more curse. Our environment will change. You know, it's almost hard to imagine, isn't it? I mean, it's almost hard to imagine that nothing will ever happen around us that's going to hurt us. But not only will that be true, not only will our environment change, but when we get to heaven, new bodies. Our bodies will change. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When we get to heaven, we're going to get new bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to begin reading in verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, the earthly tent here is our bodies, we have a building from God, a new body, an eternal house, new body in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Now, you may have lived upon this earth and say, I've had a really good body. Haven't hardly been sick. Haven't hardly had to deal with pain. Haven't hardly had to deal with anything, you know, physically. But certainly many people have. Paul said, look, while we're in this body, we are groaning because we don't want this body, we want a new body. Verse 3. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwellings so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as the deposit, notice, guaranteeing what is to come. God put the Holy Spirit in your life as a guarantee that one day you will get a new body. I'm going to ask tonight, how many of you tonight have had to face problems with this body? Raise your hand. Vast majority of us. You know, we're ready to change bodies. You know, it's kind of like, somewhere along the line, we just got the wrong one. But that's true for most people. This year for me has been the worst physically I've ever had to go through. You know, as I look at, let's say, how Rich usually knows this, how many Sundays have we had so far this year? 48, see, he always knows. 48 Sundays so far this year. I have been sick for 47 of them. Don't know fully the reason why. I think we've got part of it figured out, but you know, it just seems week after week after week there's something new. I don't want this body anymore. I'm ready for the new one. God guarantees we're going to get it. And I'll take him up on that guarantee. Paul says we're going to groan. The word groan here, Amy, you will like this. It's a word that means a sigh of relief due to physical suffering or loss or distress, and it is the word used of childbirth. My oldest brother used to say that when, now he never had a baby, but he used to say this just for fun when Connie was getting ready to have Amy. He used to say that having a baby is like taking your upper lip and pulling it over your head. I don't know, you ladies can answer that one. But that's the word here. It's a word, you know, that's used of that kind of pain. And the word burden here means to be weighed down. So the body causes us to long for our heavenly body. And God guarantees we're going to get it. And he has given us the Holy Spirit as the down payment, the first installment on our new body. New body is coming. In fact, turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. God describes these new bodies. And I want you to know that the new body is going to be much different than the present body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. I'll take that, amen. Notice verse 35. Someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come back to life until it dies. What you sow, you do not plant the body that will be but just the seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. What God gives is a body as he has determined as to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. Sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. The stars differ from star and splendor. So he gives us three illustrations of the fact that our bodies that we get in heaven are different than the bodies we have here. The first is seeds. What is true of a seed is that the original form is not the same as the final form. You know, you take a seed, you plant it in the ground, and what you plant in the ground is different from what sprouts. Flesh. Not all flesh is the same. Heavenly bodies. Not all heavenly bodies are the same. They differ in splendor. So these three things illustrate that when we get to heaven, the body that we will get is different than the body that we have. What's the body like? Well, notice verse 42. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. Not much argument there, right? We know that these bodies just don't last. They are perishable. But notice it is raised imperishable. The word imperishable means not subject to deterioration. Now, I didn't realize that deterioration happens almost at the time we're at our peak. Have you ever noticed you kind of grow up, become mature physically, and about that time you begin to go backwards? My daughter was making fun of me today. Am I supposed to give you $5 when I use you as an illustration? $5? I grabbed a newspaper when we got home, the sports section, and I was looking at the sports section. I kind of had my glasses like that, And what did you say? It looks like the perfect grandfather. That's right. And I was sitting in a rocking chair. I mean, it was just all there. The contrast here is longevity and durability. Our bodies in heaven will not grow old. They will not run down. They're not going to fall apart. They're not going to slow down. We're not going to gain weight. Our minds will not forget. I don't know what I would do if Connie were not around, because I always ask her a whole bunch of things I forget. In heaven, our bodies just aren't going to decay. I don't know the age of our bodies. The body, the Bible doesn't really tell us, but there's going to be a mature age that we are given, and whatever that age, if we think in human terms, it's never going to go past that. Our bodies are just going to last. Notice verse 43. What is sown in dishonor will be raised in glory. Worthy of praise, honorable. The bodies that we get are going to change in value, perhaps in appearance. You know, I hear all these psychologists and stuff and that say that we ought to be satisfied with what we have. And if you're not satisfied with what you have, then we need to talk to you and help you to get your head on right. But I don't know about you, but remember, these bodies have been stained by sin. I don't like everything I got. I would like some things to be different. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because we're told when we get to heaven, we're going to be different. Bodies are going to be worthy of praise. And then notice also in verse 43, what is sown in weakness is raised in power. We're going to have powerful bodies. It means dynamite. The contrast pertains to ability. Our bodies will not be subject to weakness, disease, sickness. We will no longer say the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. In fact, if you notice in the very next verse, it is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. I don't think that's talking about that our bodies are no longer going to have physical parts to them. I don't think it means spiritual in relation to physical. I think the idea here is that our bodies in heaven will be fit for serving God. The contrast pertains to sphere of existence. Our present bodies are made for earth, but our new bodies will be made for heaven. It will be suited for our heavenly life. In fact, I want you to notice that not only will our bodies be different, not only will they be imperishable, not only will they be glorious, not only will they be powerful, not only will they be spiritual, but the end result really is that our new bodies will be like Christ's body. What can be better than that? Skip down with me to verse 49. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the imperishable inherit the perishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will become true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. World, death is your victory. World, death is your sting. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Flesh and bones, not blood. not subject to the the laws of gravity and time. Bodies like our heavenly Lord. You know, sometimes a trip doesn't seem the greatest. Read the story about a child. He used to have a terrible time with car sickness. For some reason, about every time he hit 20 miles, he would just throw up. And his grandmother lived 100 miles from him. That means you guys got to move closer, because right now we're about 400 miles. So you can imagine going 100 miles to grandma's house, throwing up every 20 miles. The trip wasn't too fun. And his family used to have to apologize if anyone was in the car with them as they went to grandma's house. But he saw that once he got to grandma's house, the trip didn't seem all that bad. Even the vomiting every 20 miles as he headed the 100 miles, somehow when he got to grandma's house, that trip kind of got easier. I can't wait till we get to our heavenly home. And what we need to realize now is, even though sometimes the road seems real bumpy, when we get to our final destination, the bumps are going to level out because we're going to be in our heavenly home. What a great day that will be. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, sometimes the bumps just seem so hard. Help us, Lord, as we go through those bumps. Help us, Lord, to realize how great it's going to be when we arrive in our heavenly home. And Lord, help us not in this life have to wait until it's all over. But I pray, Lord, we would realize now, as we look towards eternity, that these light and momentary troubles will not compare with our new environment and our new bodies and your presence. Help us, Lord, to look towards our heavenly home. For we pray in Jesus' name.